First, since the Great Recession of 2008, no college major has lost more enrollment than English. The National Center on Education Statistics reports the number of English majors has dropped more than 25%. More students and their parents are banking on science, technology, engineering, and math to deliver more steady paychecks after graduation. But here's the thing. For people who recently got their diploma, the unemployment rate is actually lower for English majors than computer science majors. And over time, English majors can make a pretty penny. Some prominent economists are now saying we need English majors to make a major comeback. Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. She recently wrote about the demand for English majors. Heather, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Heather, this news is unexpected, perhaps shocking to some people to hear economics leaders arguing for English majors. What's going on?
It certainly caught my eye. Maybe I should fully disclose that I majored in both English and economics in college. So this is a particularly one that's very close to my heart personally. Basically there's been this huge drop off in English majors, and the transition point is really 2009, that last year of the recession when so many people were losing their homes and the stock market still looked in the dumps, unemployment, one in 10 people in the country was unemployed. So it was very scary time in the nation. And a lot of people say, were English majors really going that strong before that? The reality is from like 1990 all the way through 2008, it was like a pretty flat line. About 50,000 people a year majored in English. And that was pretty steady. But the Great Recession really changed things. And people just flocked away from the major, and not just English, but this is a similar story for history, for foreign languages, for religion, for philosophy, you name it, in the humanities. So I had been thinking about this for the last few months. It happened at my own school, thinking and was really flabbergasted to hear the data at my institution and look it up nationally and see it was happening all across the country. It's happening at flagship universities, state universities. It's happening at the Ivy League schools, you name it. And what's making people pause a little bit here is a bunch of prominent economists, including Nobel Prize winner Robert Shiller. He's a Yale professor who's most well known for calling the dot-com bubble and also the Case-Shiller Housing Index, which is one of the often referenced indexes that tracks house prices. He's out with a new book called Narrative Economics, and he basically says, look, economists have gone so far towards building all these models to try to predict the economy and basically doing all this fancy math. And in reality, so much of decision-making at the household level and the family level is actually made by storytelling. It's made by people telling each other, hey, Bitcoin, you should buy this. You could make a lot of money. Or, hey, you could get a mortgage with only putting 1% or 2% down. And that, economists and economic policymakers need to be spending a lot more time thinking about what are the stories that are resonating and how can they potentially influence the narrative.
We posted a question about this on our Facebook page for the Ideas Network, and Jess said, you don't have to be an English major to learn how to write or communicate effectively, and some communication classes and a couple of writing classes add those to the curriculum, and we're set. So are people able to get these sort of, maybe they go into engineering or a science field, and yet with a couple of classes, can they make up some of the enrichment you get by getting an English degree?
Yeah, that's entirely true. I mean, first of all, we talk specifically in our headline about English majors being down, so much since the recession. But the reality is, it's true of all the humanities, and you get similar skills in any humanities. I think Jessica makes a very good point that certainly anyone who believes in a liberal arts education, sure, you could major in computer science, which is what a lot of people are doing now. That's been one of the top growing majors, computer science and healthcare, and you could easily major in that. Still take some entry-level or even advanced-level humanities classes. So sure, you can glean some of these basic skills. And indeed, Robert Shiller, the economist, is a good example. At the start of his book, Narrative Economics, he's obviously this major in economics, has a PhD in economics, is a Nobel Prize winner in economics, but he actually talks in the opening of his book really, really fondly about his history classes that he took, as an undergraduate, and how he really, at the University of Michigan, Michigan and how he really felt that his history classes taught him far more about the Great Depression in the 30s than anything he was learning in economics. So he's a good example of that trend.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about how some economists are calling for more English majors. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Tell us whether you majored in English or if you decided to go against it in another field, or what you think about the value of the humanities majors. Heather, when we're talking about people choosing to go into computer science or the health fields, the issue of money comes up. I mean, can English majors make money in the long term?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And obviously, this perception is out there, again, from the Ivy League students, you know, down all throughout and the whole landscape of higher education, that it's not marketable, that you're not going to make any money. You're going to end up as, you know, whatever, pick your favorite job, barista or whatnot, if you go and you major in English or history or one of those fields. But, you know, I have to say, I was surprised a little bit to look at the data when you actually, the government keeps track of the data of what happens to people 1 year, you know, a couple years out, 5 years out, and then what happens to them 10 and 20 and 30 years down the line. And what they're seeing is right after graduation, computer science majors do make several thousand dollars more on average than your typical humanities major does. So there's a little bit of a premium for those jobs and those majors, as we say in economics. But once you get about 10 years out, the landscape really changes. And what you start to see is that humanities majors are on par. They're earning the same amount as a lot of STEM fields, including computer science. And people who have studied this, they point to a couple of things. They say, look, when you become a manager of people, you need more of those soft skills and you need more of those communication skills. And those are prized equally, if not more, than some of the more technical coding skills. The other thing people point out is that, look, technology changes very quickly. And someone who's been out for 10 or more years may not be as up-to-date anymore on the latest technology as that new, fresh 23-year-old coming out of university. And so that may be another reason that some of that computer science wage premium goes away once you're starting to hit, say, your early 30s. So I was surprised to see that the outlook for English and for humanities majors is not nearly as bleak as this perception that parents in particular have when their children are choosing that college major.
We're talking about the sharp drop in English majors and why some people say it's time for a revival. Heather Long is our guest. She's an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. And you can join this conversation. Pick up the phone and call 800-642-1234. Did you major in English? What kind of work are you doing now? Maybe the Great Recession steered you or your kids away from taking more classes in English. How do you benefit today from the English courses you took in college? 800-642-1234. You can call or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation continues just ahead. Stay with us here on Central Time. You are listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about the value of majoring in English. Some high-profile economists are saying there's a lot to gain by taking humanities classes and by reading stories about how the economy affects people's lives. Heather Long is our guest. She's an economics correspondent for The Washington Post and has written about this. And we want to know what you think. 800-642-1234. Does the world need more English majors, or is STEM the better path to employment? Do you have any regrets that you didn't major in English, or maybe that you did? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Joel on Facebook sent us a message and said, aside from teaching, occupations for English degrees are quite limited, not so much for occupations requiring education in the STEM areas. He believes that there's a benefit in well-rounded education, but we have to be realistic. Heather, what kind of jobs are we looking at people with English degrees getting these days?
I think They're absolutely right. Again, it's that difference between your prospects 1 year out versus your prospects in your mid-career, 10 year out. You know, it is interesting that actually English majors ages 25 to 29 had a lower unemployment rate than math and computer science majors. So clearly English majors are getting jobs. We don't have full transparency about exactly what those jobs are. You know, but some cynical readers have certainly emailed me to say, oh, you know, they're all baristas. But I think what it does is that the humanities majors in some ways are forced to think a little bit more broadly about what their career options are. And, you know, some people obviously go to law school. It's a major feeder into that. You know, others go into consulting and those types of professions that are very highly paid. Certainly, as we emphasize in the media, there is a huge boom in communications broadly, whether it's public relations or wanting to get your advertising and storytelling. We're living in kind of an age of comprehensible consumption of media right now.
Let's go to the phones now. We've got an English teacher or an English major in the house, Kathy from Dodgeville. Welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you.
What is your story?
Well, I got my degree in teaching grade 6 through 12 English and speech communications in 1973 from Illinois State University. And while I was an underclassman, in college, I taught freshman composition as an undergraduate teaching assistant. But I had decided I didn't want to be a teacher, and so I moved out to the East Coast and started a 25-year degree in a 25-year career, rather, in computer science. And I worked for, I took classes at several universities and had on-the-job training and had a very successful career working for NASA, General Electric, and Mobil Oil.
Kathy, thank you so much. So, Heather, it sounds like Kathy took that English degree foundation and then actually used it in the fields of science.
Yeah, and I've definitely heard a lot of success stories like that, both people who did further training to enhance their technical skills and people who have become what you might call translators. Again, there's a huge need in a lot of these technical fields for people who can explain what's going on to the advertising side, to the general public, to people who need to use these and understand these different technologies, or people who need to understand them in a policy context. I mean, I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C., and there's a whole universe of people whose job it is, you know, to go to and talk to politicians and try to educate them on these different fields and what, you know, what needs funding, what looks hot, where the job's going to be. So, I think, again, there's this sort of belief that you need these technical skills when actually there's still a lot of jobs to support and surround and enhance those technical jobs and that require some humanities and softer skills.
Now let's bring on Stephanie from Menasha. Stephanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, I agree wholeheartedly with the guest's approach to education. I wanted to also advocate, though, for a liberal arts education overall, that even if you go into a liberal arts school and major in biology or computer science, say, the benefits of having a liberal arts education will bring you those skills that maybe an English major or history major might, you know, find being more prolific in their major, those skills like writing, thinking critically, analyzing. I just want to advocate for a liberal arts approach to education, especially at the undergrad level.
Thanks, Stephanie. And Heather, a liberal arts education is Stephanie's preference as opposed to fast track or tech education, where it really is focused specifically in one sector of science or math or engineering.
Well, that's certainly, I'm a liberal arts graduate, so I'm biased here. I certainly endorse that approach. What I think is interesting is when I was graduating college in 2004, so you know, in college from sort of 2000 to 2004, on my campus, the math department used to argue to the students that calculus should be as integral to the liberal arts education as Shakespeare, because you know, most students were taking economics was the most popular major, followed by English. Today, it's the complete opposite. Math and computer science have risen through the ranks. These humanities fields have gone, you know, down in enrollment, and now people are having to make the case of why you should still take that Shakespeare class. Meanwhile, the calculus classes are full. So I think that, you know, I agree with the caller. It's just interesting how much the bar has shifted, the pendulum has shifted one way to the other about what classes people are having to stress you still need to take if you want to be well-rounded.
Sure. And it's not just about money. It's about mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to Central Time. We're taking your calls, your questions at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the fact that there are some economics experts who are calling for more people to major in English. Teresa from Janesville wants to weigh in. Teresa, welcome to Central Time.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with Heather that there really should be more emphasis or at least more acceptance of the idea of majoring in English. I've always loved the English language and have always been a writer. I majored in elementary education, but then later in life, I somehow stumbled upon a job as a oral history teller. So I was called the history teller at our local historical society and started doing interviews of area folks. And there was such a thirst for these stories out there. And since I've resigned from that position, I started my own business called Janesville Area Stories. But, you know, meanwhile, between then and now, I was looking around at jobs, and there are so many, you know, like web design, web storytellers, they need people to write for websites and things like this. And so there's a huge push out there, a huge need, as you were saying, for English majors, for people to be able to come out and do this.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I appreciate the perspective there. Heather, what do you hear in that story?
Yeah, obviously, I think we're sort of fast friends here. I agree a lot with what the caller said. I will, just to throw something else, this wasn't in the article, but you know, I have to say the best advice I ever got about any of this when I was wrestling with what to major in was someone who was probably in her 50s at the time, and I was agonizing, oh, if I major in this or that, what are my job prospects? What are my life prospects? And she just looked at me and said, you know, the best thing that you can do is major in good professors, you know, the people who are really going to inspire you to learn and to remember what you're learning. And good professors also tend to be people who keep in touch with some of their star students and alums who've left the school, and they tend to be the ones who can help you connect with jobs. So much of jobs is about networking at the end of the day, even more than your technical or your literary or your writing skills.
And how have colleges responded to this decline in English majors then?
It's been really tough. They've gone through this huge crisis in a lot of humanities departments, including English departments. They've tried to spice up the curriculum, if you will, so trying to offer, you know, classes about Lord of the Rings or about Game of Thrones and these types of more perhaps sexy and seemingly exciting topics to a younger generation, or movies and film and versed and the novels that they're based off of. But enrollments really are not coming back. It's continued to be a decline in both majors, and particularly students taking those upper level classes. So I think it's an ongoing debate about whether this is going to stabilize or whether it's going to continue to decline. And you're seeing a number of universities do away with various departments or try to combine departments that would have been unthinkable even 15 or 20 years ago, to say, like, we won't have a history department anymore. We won't have a permanent language department anymore. And now these types of things are on the cutting block.
Let's fit in one more quick call. Gary from Iron River, what's your comment here this afternoon?
Yes, good afternoon, ladies. The comment I would make is it's important not to underplay the value of earnings in the first 10 or 15 years of your career. That's the time when you need to be starting your households, paying off your school loans, being able to get started, save for retirement, and being relatively short on earnings in that time period has a significant long-term economic impact, even if the salaries are the same 15 or 20 years out.
Gary, thanks so much for that comment. Heather, what about the short term? If English majors can make the same as STEM in the long run, what about what happens before you get to that point?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, and that's certainly why we're seeing this trend that we're seeing of people biasing towards STEM fields. It is exactly what that caller, the point that caller just made, is both parents and students are aware that if you want the best chance for a best leg up that first year out of college, then you probably would have that more likelihood of having that in more of a STEM or a technical field. And I think that's exactly why this trend is happening.
Beyond economists, do you see anybody else talking about needing a resurgence of the humanities?
Well, maybe beyond kind of, I think what's interesting is a lot of executives. When I published this piece, I was amazed how many people who run companies or who run big investment funds emailed me. I mean, again, it's this weird conundrum where those skills that served you well from those humanities fields really come into play the higher up the career ladder you go. But as that last caller just made, that's a tough calculation. Are you the one who thinks you're going to be sitting in a CEO suite or sitting in a top management job one day? And that's a bit of a leap sometimes to try to visualize yourself there. And is it worth that trade-off long-term versus short-term gains?
Right. You have to get there first.
You do.
Heather, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. She wrote a recent piece about how some economists say we need more people majoring in English.